Good morning, Emmanuel, and welcome to our last Sunday service before Christmas. Welcome to any visitors with us and to those listening on to the recording later on. We come to worship as part of the Old Town Partnership of Churches and, of course, with Highworth United Reformed. The readers today are Stuart Benjamin and Pam Weston. Now, I don't believe there are any other notices, so I shall light the candles, the peace candle and the Christ candle.
Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. As Sam just said, it's the last service before Christmas Day. You can tell because there's only one red candle left to be lit, and by the time the service ends today, that will be lit, and on Thursday, the white candle will be lit. It's a time of reflection, a time of celebration, a time of coming together. And from the book of Psalms, we hear the words of Psalm 80, "Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved." And we turn to God for guidance. We turn to God for support. We know that God has chosen to be with us. And when I say us, I don't mean Emmanuel. But I do mean Emmanuel, because God with us is with all of us, everywhere. God's people are much more than we can ever imagine and think of. And I'm glad of that, because God surprises us with the best of things that we can ever imagine about. So let us respond to that love by singing, something we do well, Well, some of you do it well, and some of you do it better, and some of us do it not so well. And it's Rejoice and Sing, hymn 161, Good Christians All Rejoice with Heart and Soul and Voice. Be seated. We come together for a time of prayer, and we will end with the Lord's Prayer said all together. Let us pray. We come with heart, with voice, with who we are, not necessarily how we would like to be, but yes, who we are this moment, human, with the best and the less good, with our hopes and expectations, with our frailties and vulnerabilities, this is who we are. And we come because you have promised to meet us. You're the God that will run to welcome us and embrace us. You are the one that will sit by the way and listen to us, even in our silence. You are the one that promises that there is something new happening, and you want us to be part of that. So we come to you with thanksgiving for all that helps us be better people, for all that reminds us that we are loved and cared for, for all that makes us open our hearts to the world around us, not to hide from it, but to look at it with open eyes and beating heart, to share the good news, that news that brings hope and speaks of new possibilities, the good news that tells people that there is a place for each and all. The good news that says that exclusion is not what God wants for us. We aren't perfect. We couldn't be. But within our limitations, we do our best to love you, to love others, to learn, to be transformed. We don't want to remain stuck in the mud of what is and has always been. We want to travel the new way that in Jesus we are taught is there. So thank you. Thank you for all this, for what we recognize and what you have ready to surprise us with. We are your children, and you are our Father. And that puts us into connection with your people everywhere. We thank you for the differences, the different languages, the different expressions, the different ways we sing, the different tunes we sing to, the different words we speak. But the road leads to you, and we are traveling that road. Forgive us when we get caught up in selfishness, when we let the fears that exist take hold of us and annul our possibility of seeing something new. Forgive us for the words that have caused pain, or for the silences that have not brought hope. Forgive us, O Lord, if we get caught up in thoughts and actions and beliefs that exclude. The Christmas message is a different message, and we want to learn. And in that learning, we need to be able to seek forgiveness, to be forgiving, and to be loving in the restored lives that you give us. For the light that shines and makes us not only be able to recognize the path, but reminds us that we too are part of that light that others will see. Dear God, we come as we are to be welcomed by you and thus made in your love the people you know we can be. And as your children, we then say together the words that Jesus taught the disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. One of the signs that where we are on the journey of Advent is that we will now light the fourth candle of the Advent wreath. Tom and Teresa will do that for us.
Love can be the love we feel for our families, or friends, or significant others. It can be the love we feel for ourselves. But could love also be something deeper? Understanding love better helps us understand God. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life."
A prayer for love. Lord, help us feel your love, that above all things we may know we are loved by you. Lord, thanks for the gift of love, and for those who help us discover its meaning and power.
Thank you for lighting the fourth candle. And we respond with the words of hymn 267 in Sing Praise. It's the other hymn book. It's verse 2 of Sing Praise, Word incarnate, truth revealing, Son of Man on earth. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah 7, verses 10 to 16. Which is on page 646 of the Old Testament, if you want to follow it. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted."
The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And is on page 1. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for leading us in the Bible readings this morning. Now, this is a moment with a slight difference. The anthem sung by the choir is O Men from the Fields, and it tells the story of the shepherds called on that night. The difference being that the singing will be done by the men in the choir. The women will sit and enjoy what happens. But just before we came into the church, I heard a rumor that, for those of you who follow it and inspired by that moment, Strictly Come Dancing finished yesterday, and the men are wondering if everybody else in the congregation will then lift up cards showing their score of what the men have done in the choir. So please, if that is true, and we won't know for the next few minutes, please be generous in your Christmas spirit. But the men will now sing O Men from the Fields. Thank you very much, and no rejections from anybody. On this day, O Lord, we hear your word. May it not only be the written word, but the spoken word and the living word. Through your guidance, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we come to you. Amen. Advent is reaching its peak. The theme, as you heard when the candle was lit, is that of love, which is not only the theme for the fourth Sunday of Advent, it is the blueprint for the whole ministry of Jesus. And the guidance given to all, each and all of us, on the way to live. It is a sign of what the kingdom of God is about. And the word to remember is Emmanuel, which shouldn't be too difficult for us. I was quite surprised this week, or not, reading that for lots of people in some parts of the world, Jesus has a second name to it, like lots of us have a first name and a second name. And that second name is Christ. Well, it's not a name at all. It's a title. He is Jesus Messiah, the Anointed One. That's a description, not his second name. And that's important to bear in mind, more than you realize, because what we call him, or when we call him Jesus Christ, we're talking of Jesus, that person who is the Anointed. And even though the Bible does call him Jesus, as I'll say in a few moments, the name he was really given was slightly different, because Jesus is the English translation. And much to the shock of many, Jesus didn't speak English. Mummy and Daddy didn't speak English either. So the name he was given was slightly different. To fully understand the readings this morning, it's good to remember that in the time of Isaiah, it was fully known in the religious world of its time that the gods that other people had that tended to live in a particular place, be it Mount Olympus in some of the traditions or not, were known every so often when they got bored of being up there and there was nothing new happening, to come down to earth, because they thought that some of the things that humans were doing were quite silly, could be quite fun, but they were gods. So they would come down, mingle with us humans, and as a result of that, sometimes what are known in some religious traditions as demigods were the result of this. And then the gods would go back to their abode somewhere and continue with what gods did, which was basically do the best not to get bored. Isaiah is pointing to something very different. In a world that understood what was happening, Isaiah speaks differently. He takes a step away from what was considered the norm. The prophecy is set in a historical time, as the reading begins by saying, in the time of King Ahaz. That is a specific moment, given a reality. And the king, we are told, has his fears, his worries. And they say, well, ask the God. And he says, I'm not going to tempt God asking him for my things. So the prophet speaks and says, okay, you won't. Let me tell you what would happen. And he talks of something new, of something different, using a word that the people would understand, but filling it with a totally different meaning. And that happens so often in the Bible. Words that we know of and use quite frequently, but when they're put in the context of the Bible, of the prophets or of Jesus or the disciples, we've got to stop and think, is this saying what I think it is, or is it asking us to understand something new? This is the case of the reading from Isaiah this morning. What is being announced is God with us, among us, not in the playground of life, but in the walks of life, every day, not going back, up somewhere, walking the same paths and living life with humans and not running away from it. And this was something very, very, very different. We get used to it, but you can't fully understand it without saying, this is so new that it's not automatic in understanding. Isaiah is challenging King Ahaz, filled with the doubts for the future. And in this sense, the passage speaks to us, because we too are people with worries and concerns about the future. That's if we are honest to ourselves and to God. We have our doubts. We have our fears. We have our worries. The shepherds that the choir sang just now, they were out. They were doing what they do every night, looking after their sheep. It was cold. They were out under the starry sky, very beautiful, very cold. And shall we go and see this that we've been told? The angels have spoken. There must be something worth getting to know about this. They have their doubts. They don't have all the answers. We don't either. Be it in the political world, the economic world, the environmental world, the reality of this era we are living in, the social difficulties, and into that reality, Emmanuel is once again announced. God with us. How? Where? When? And the answer is the same. Emmanuel. God with us. And this is what the writer of the Gospel of Matthew picks up. We've got to remember two things in particular about this Gospel of Matthew. One, that the author of the Gospel is writing to people with a Jewish background. And that's why Matthew is going to pick up lots of the Jewish traditions that they will recognize. But he's talking of something new. And that the Gospel, as we know it today, was written many, many years after Jesus died. Matthew is the name taken from one of the disciples, but also the disciple Matthew had long gone. This gospel was written probably between the 80s and 90s, and if Jesus died around the 30s, it's two generations later. So it's based on the stories that people told, little stories that people wrote about. Remember, not everybody knew how to read and write. So stories were transmitted. Oh, in our town this happened. Oh, I heard that in the town next door this happened. Oh, I once spoke to the person that had had this miracle done. And he groups it all together in what is now called the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus, of course, was known about. They talked about him. And Jesus began as another Jewish rabbi talking about the will of God. And Matthew speaks a lot about that. But something new was happening. A new way, a departure that gave birth to what we now call Christianity. Taken from the description of Jesus. Jesus Christ. But nobody called him Christ until he became part of the Greek world. He was Jesus, Messiah. And knowing this, the author of the Gospel begins his narrative going back to the prophecy. Chapter 1, verse 18. I mean, he's got 28 chapters to go to. This is very early on, and he begins with the words of the prophecy, going back to Isaiah. But that does not mean to say there aren't some fascinating twists to the story. Do you remember the narrative of why they go to Bethlehem? There is a census. And we're not used to that. I mean, the census we are used to, it happens every 10 years. We fill in a form online. When I was a student back in Argentina, we used to go home house by house with a form, filling in the forms. And it was good fun. Most people didn't let you into the house, but you had to ask questions. And they had to respond, because it was the law. But the census went to where the people was. In the story, in the gospel, the people have to go to the town of their ancestor, the town of David. Making Jesus descendant of David, but through Joseph. And in this story, it's a weird story because Joseph is so filled with doubt. He hears that the woman he's betrothed to is expecting a baby. And the first thing he says, well, I'm an honorable man. So the best thing is, I'm not going to make a scandal because the word honorable is important, but we will forget about Mary. This is not my child. Mary is privy to some information that Joseph doesn't have. And it's only through a dream that Mary has and then Joseph has that he seems to accept something that is very difficult to accept. Joseph is baffled, probably to say the least of it. But Matthew, who is writing the gospel for readers, as I said, of the Jewish background, wants to put it in the context of the prophecy. a young woman, a child really in our culture, will have a child, fruit of the Holy Spirit, as told by the prophets of old. Once again, God is doing something that needs us, human beings of then and of today, to accept to be part of a story that we don't fully understand. And that is what faith is all about, something that's difficult to explain. Do you really think that Joseph understood everything that was happening? Do you really think that Mary fully understood everything was happening? This was the biggest story of their life, of their generation, and it was bigger than anything. And then we are told, in a rather intimate way, I mean, you wouldn't want that said about everybody, that they had no marital connection until after the baby was born, and they give him the name Jesus. In the Gospel of Mark, we hear that Jesus is at least one of seven. That after Jesus, Joseph and Mary have four sons, and the Gospel says, and his sisters. So we can presume there are at least two. So four brothers, Jesus, four brothers, that's five, sisters, that's two, a perfect number in the Bible, but it could have been more. They say James, the author of the Gospel, was one of Jesus' brothers. And this is a reminder of what the Advent candle was talking about. The Sunday of Advent speaking about love. What God does. That we may receive, participate, and share in a love for God's creation as a whole. A creation that needs a Savior. And we continue to need a Savior. And this is what love is all about. And this is what the message of Advent is, step by step, leading up to love on the fourth Sunday. And then the next time we meet, when we light the only candle that is not lit yet, will be the birth. Love came down at Christmas. Wasn't that what you sang to start the service off? Love came down at Christmas, love divine. That describes everything God is doing. Do we understand it? Not always. Particularly when it asks us to love in a way that the world rejects. A love for all. No, 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 no. For some, not for all. And God again will say, love for all. There's no coming back from that. What do you mean, love for all? Yes. Follow Jesus' ministry humbly, reading each passage, and you will see what it says, what it does. And that happens in each of the Gospels. We will be surprised by what love for all means. As in the story of the time of the birth of a child, who will be called Yeshua. We can guess. Sounds rather similar. And that means the Lord is salvation. Do you know, lots of names have meanings to them. Some of you may know what the meaning of your name is. I once knew what Robert was. I haven't the clue of what it is now, but it doesn't make any difference. So Yeshua, that was what he would be called. When translated into Greek, because that was the first language people were speaking in the area, it would become Jesus, Jesus. And then translated into Spanish, into English, into German, it got to be Jesus. The reality of the world needs to be challenged, to go back to the understanding. And in the next few days, when we reach Christmas, the story, we will be faced with the reality as Joseph, as Mary, and the baby to be. What's going to happen soon after his birth? They will become homeless. They will become refugees. They will become people in need of the help of others, even if it is an inn, even if it is traveling to Egypt, which in the mind of the Israelites of their time only had one meaning, slavery, from which they were liberated by by Moses. And this is how we are asked to try and grasp the meaning of Emmanuel. God is with us. So give yourself a time in the next few days to think exactly of what that means, and it shouldn't be too difficult. What is Emmanuel all about? Well, the first place you could say is where I go to church every so often. But I hope it's much more than that. I hope it goes deeper than that. I hope it's not a place we come to, but also a place we leave from and learn to be God with us to other people in a welcoming way, because the us includes the other people. Us means not only the person I'm in front of, but it means the new community created with people we know and people we don't know. Emmanuel happens to be the name of our church. And, okay, this is a private joke. In the two readings today, you have it in both spellings. In Hayden Wick spelling and in Walcott spelling, you have Emmanuel with an E and Emmanuel with an I. And what's the joke of that? The joke for that, that I think I may have told you once at least, is I nearly applied to Emmanuel for the pastoral job, and Gerald England had been a minister there not too long until I started looking at the photographs on the webpage and realized that they had nothing to do with the photographs in the booklet I got from Emmanuel. And I said, I'm about to apply for the wrong church. And then I've said to myself, why would two churches very close together have the same pronunciation written in two different ways? Obviously, it means a lot. I still don't have an answer to that question. But, yes, it is about that reality. I hope that we are a people that find the sign of God with us, with them, as part of the challenge of what we live every day. We don't have the answers, and we should not pretend to have all the answers. As long as we are capable of saying, I don't know how, and I don't know exactly what it means, but I want to believe and live as if God is with us. Serious challenges in a time where many are trying to privatize faith, keep it for themselves, to justify themselves, which excludes many people. But the faith that creates community, and that is evident in our church today, because you see, the table is set. You know what's under the napkins there. You know why the white tablecloth is there. We will be sharing, affirming that community, that communion. The road to celebrating the birth of the child is a call to trust. And in the gospel reading of today, Mary had to trust, even when all the odds were against us and she had a lot to lose. Joseph had to trust when nothing made sense to him. So here we are, 4 days away from Christmas, from the birth of Jesus. In our trusting God, who chose to be with us, all of us, not some of us. And such love as the world had not really known yet comes into the midst to make something new. Do we know all the details? No. Do we need to know all the details? No. If we only know that God with us means exactly that, and our life points to that, we are on a good path in a world that desperately needs it. My prayer is that all we become people opening our lives to this love in a world that desperately needs it, and sharing to reach out to the lives of others. And half the homework is there, done for us already. By choice, by gift, by miracle, the church we attend is called Emmanuel. God with us. Let it be worth the implications this has for the world. Amen. Our next hymn from Sing Praise is hymn number 13. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Be seated. At this time of the service, we will share what we have been able to set apart for the offering. what is in the plate, together with what we give in different ways. Our time, our talents, our possessions are yours. By the guidance of the Spirit, may all we dedicate through the offering reach others, so that the world may know that through your love and generosity, everything can be different, everything can be better. Bless those who have to administer the offering as we administer our lives, and to you be the glory. Amen. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
We wait for thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. Alleluia. On this last Sunday before Christmas, we come together in our prayers with our minds flooded with concerns of celebrations, travel, presents, food, friends and family, government, wars and atrocities of the world, climate change, and those we know to be sick or in need. O Lord, help and guide our thoughts so our actions can be free from overload and paralysis. Maranatha. We pray for those brokering peace in our world. May they find lasting justice leading to a secure peace. We think of our brothers and sisters affected by the Bondi Beach killings only a week ago. God of all consolation and hope, look with mercy on all affected by the Bondi Beach attack, on those who have died and those who mourn, on the injured and traumatized, on the Jewish community in Sydney and all around the world, and on all who today live in fear. We pray for all children in every country of the world. We pray for Muslims, Jews, and Christians, that we will all draw on the best of our traditions to guide us away from words and acts of division and violence that has everyone may be free to live in safety. Protect the vulnerable, strengthen the fearful, and comfort the grieving. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for the church throughout the world and here in the Old Town Partnership and with our sister church at Highworth. O Lord, thank you for each of the ministries and churches within our community that share the gospel with others. We pray that you would help these ministries meet the unique individual needs of every person in our community and guide them closer to you. Let us each love our neighbours as ourselves. Help us through our churches and ministries live selflessly as they spread your name. Maranatha. We pray for the sick. Faithful God, we pray for the sick and the suffering, for those awaiting results or treatments, for those suffering alone at home. We especially pray for all those who love and those who care for them. Amongst others, we pray for Simon Stevenet, who thankfully is home, but still has a long way to go. In a few moments of silence, let us bring before you now those we know who are in need of your healing and loving kindness, O Lord. Maranatha. And we pray for the departed. Father, you know our hearts and share our sorrows. We are hurt by our parting from those whom we loved. When we are angry at the loss we have sustained, when we long for words of comfort, yet find them hard to hear, turn our grief to truer living, our affliction to firmer hope, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, as we leave church today, may your Spirit shine through us, and may we show that Christ will always be in Christmas. Maranatha. Rejoice and be glad at this Christmas, we pray. Sing praise for the Saviour, sing endless Ave.
Thank you, John. As we prepare to celebrate communion, from Rejoice and Sing, we'll be singing hymn 107. Jeff, probably verses 1, 3, and 5? Verses 1, 3, and 5 of hymn 107. Please be seated. The table is set, and it's always good to be reminded that this table is a table for all. Those who are searching, those who have found, those who feel lost, those that are confused, those that don't know. If you feel that you would like to participate, know that you are welcome. What we will do, we will share the bread and then the cup with each of you where you are sitting. And we'll all hold the bread until all have received so we can eat together. And we will all hold the cup until all have received so we can drink together. It's that togetherness that in a way confronts the world's divisive actions, reminding the world that in God's love we can do things together. In the Gospel of Matthew that we have read today, we read the following. From chapter 26, it says, "On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?' He said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, "The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples."' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover meal. When the evening came, he took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.' And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, 'Surely not I, Lord.' He answered, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes, as it was written of him, but woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed.' While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." We will eat, we will drink, we will sing a hymn. But our Mount of Olives is the world in where we live, the neighborhood, the people we meet, the shops we go to. That is where we live our life. And as Jesus took the bread and gave thanks, we give thanks to God for the bread that is here, broken as it is, as a reminder of his broken body. And we give thanks for the cup as it is, the cup of the new covenant, shared for many for the forgiveness of sins. We are all invited to eat and to drink in memory of him. You have received the bread, and now we eat, and we do it in memory of him. The cup, we drink together, and we do so in the name of him. We give you thanks, dear God, for the bread, broken as it is, a reminder of your broken body, but in which we will find wholeness, and the cup shared, the new covenant, the new promise, something new is happening, which includes the forgiveness of sins. Having taken together, we have been nurtured to go and shine our light and live our lives as your children. Amen. And our final hymn, as the disciples did that night, we do as well. And we sing. It's hymn 144 from Rejoice and Sing, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, that glorious song of old. Please remember that we will be meeting on Christmas Day at the usual time for a celebration, which is also quite a bit of fun usually. So if you are around and can join with us, you will be most welcome. If you have families meeting somewhere or another and probably might not be able to be here, go knowing that we wish everybody a very happy Christmas. And we go with the blessing of God. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, with those you love, and with the people of God in this world that so much need to hear the message of hope, see the light, and walk in peace. Amen.